Welcome to our friends and guests. We're so glad that you're here. So glad to see members of our family that we haven't seen in a while. So glad that you're here. So glad just to have everybody with us. And as we've already heard and the band started us off, God is good. It's God's goodness that gives us a hope and God's goodness that lays the foundation for us to praise Him. I mean, worship is simply our response to the fact that God is good, and He's good all the time. And so I'm so glad that you're here. If you're noticing that I'm holding a handheld microphone, for y'all who are regulars, you notice that's kind of different, and I'm not multi-talented, so I can like either hold something and read it like my Bible or hold a microphone and talk in it like I'm doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my Bible and I'm scooting back there. This is for Bert in the sound booth, and I'm going to speak from one of those microphones back there, especially as I read the Word, so that the Word comes out clearly, because no matter whatever old preacher stands up in front of your church, me or somebody else, don't be mistaken that the Scripture is the most important part of what you're going to hear that morning. Because it's infallible, it's without opinion, it's undebatable, it's final, it's the Word of God. And so I'm going to go back there so I can give you a good, clear reading. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. Yeah, this one. Can you hear me now? Hello. Am I out there? Are you out there? I feel so far away. I still love y'all. I just want to let you know that. I'm not used to preaching this far away from y'all. I'll read this and I'll come back out there and interact with you. But I want you to hear it loud and clear. This is the Word of God, Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. It's concerning the Apostle Paul and his testimony about when he came to know Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Do you have a testimony about when you came to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I've got a testimony about when I gave my life to Christ and he became my Lord and Savior. We're going to talk about the two essential parts of a testimony, and so you listen for that. We're really just going to be looking at verse 18, but I want you to hear it in context. Here it is. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who sojourned with me. and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jews or the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Now listen real close. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you've allowed us to gather here to declare your goodness based on our faith in you. Thank you, Father, that you have come onto our journey with your bright light to turn us from the way of death to the way of life and to give us, those of us who are unworthy of receiving anything from you, you've come to give us riches we could never afford to pay. You've come to give us forgiveness. You've come to give us an inheritance. You've come to give us a place in the family of faith through Christ. And Father, would you help us to remember that is no common thing. This is no thing that we could have earned through our own human strength. This is no inheritance that our fathers or grandfathers could pass down to us. It's worth more than millions and billions of acres of land. It's worth more than jewels and houses and cars and 401ks and every other thing we may value. You've given us riches from heaven, all through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord, to make much of that, to make much of you, to worship. And Father, we pray all this in that name that we've already said. But we say it again because we love it. The name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm coming back.
The separation anxiety was too much for me to bear. Paul had a testimony.
Paul's testimony was that as he was going along with his life, he was going along the way that he had been taught and brought up from the time he was a kid and sat at the feet of a Pharisee. He was going along that way of life, and Jesus, the Lord, interrupted him uninvitedly, stopped him on the road, knocked him off his high horse, and started doing a work in his life. Do you have a testimony like that? Has there been a time while you were going along the road of your life, the way you've been brought up, from the time you were young, you're a baby, you're a child, and you were brought up and said, hey, this is the way I'm supposed to live. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm living. This is how I've seen in my family before me and before me. That's the example that's been given. And you've just been walking that way, and all of a sudden, like a bright light has shone, or maybe it wasn't all of a sudden. Maybe it was a gradual light that kept just creeping in on you. But one way or the other, it was Jesus you've discovered, and he was making a move on your life. He was coming to claim something in your life. He was coming to change something in your life. Do you have a testimony like that? I have a testimony like that. I was living the way I'd always been known to live. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I grew up in a home where I was loved, where I was cared for. I was grown up to know that you ought not hurt people if you can avoid it. You ought not to hate people just because of what they look like or the color of the skin or how much money they got in their pocket or what they've done for you. You ought to love folks. You ought to get along when you can as much as it depends on you. And man, I thought I was doing swell. Now, what I didn't really reckon was that as far as the God who created me, I gave him no respect. I gave him not even a glance. I didn't give him a passing moment. Matter of fact, whenever his agenda and my agenda got crossed, I tried to talk, you know, my way out of being bound up by his agenda. I don't want to speak too graphically about this, but sometimes there was people who believed in the Lord, and they said, well, I don't want to do this or that. And I'd try to talk them out of that and say, look, man, God doesn't care. He's all right with that. Where's he at anyway? And I would just try to talk people out of those kind. That's just kind of, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was all make-believe. I thought God was just a fairy tale that you told kids, kind of like you would tell them about other fairy tales, so that they would, you know, appreciate special nights and they would go to bed on time and that they would behave. That's how I thought about God. Do you know what convinced me otherwise? God himself. I mean, it wasn't about, I'd been to churches in different denominations. All my family's Catholic. I'd been to Catholic churches, and I'd bowed, and I'd kneeled, and I'd put holy water on myself, and I've tried to do the things. I'd been to Baptist churches, and I had done that things, and I'd listened to the hymns they would say, and they'd have the invitation time, and people would hoop and holler and come down the aisle, and whoo, whoo, and they're giving themselves away and doing all that stuff. I couldn't see any of it. I promise, I was blind to it. It didn't make a lick of difference. I couldn't see any of it. It just took God himself actually making some kind of difference into me to where I knew this wasn't about church, and it wasn't about so-and-so. It wasn't about somebody talking to me or trying to persuade me or trying to pull me into their religion or pull me into their church. It was God really starting to shine some kind of light inside of me and turning my eyes away from myself to him. I mean, there really was something that went to work in my life. And that's what I want to talk about. In verse 18, it says specifically to open their eyes. To open their eyes. You know what it means to have your eyes opened? What does it mean to have your eyes opened? It means you can see now. It has the idea of understanding. It has the idea of perspective, of getting a new view on life. One of my favorite movies, it's still one of my favorite movies. It's Dead Poets Society. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's about a crazy old teacher who's trying to open the eyes of a bunch of young people. And he told them to get on their desk. So they stood up on the desk. I know I'd make everybody nervous when I do this. I'm going to do my best not to fall, I promise. If I do fall, don't worry. Just start to pray and call 911. It'll be okay. When he had them to get on their desk, and the reason he said, because this gives you a different perspective. Uh-oh, I see whispering stuff. I'm hoping that everything's... I'm hoping I'm okay. They began... I want to stand back behind the plants now. It's bad when you stand up on something, people start whispering like, oh no, worst fear of fears has happened. I think everything's clean. Anyways, I think I'm all right. When you get he had them stand on the desk to get a different perspective. Like, I just got a different perspective of the church. You know, I just felt, you know, just it's just different. The Lord Jesus tells Paul, you got to open their eyes. You got to open their eyes. You got to give them some understanding. He says, I'm going to open their eyes so they can see things differently. And when he opened their eyes, there was two things that they needed to see. When God opened my eyes, there was two things that I needed to see. One was that I was living in darkness and not in light. When he opened my eyes, I realized that I was living in darkness. That the world that I had created, the world, the life that I was living, was not one I would want to pass on to a little kid. It was not one I would want to brag about. It was not one that could lead people in a good way. Matter of fact, I'd come to the point, and I've shared this before, where I felt like I could only be a bad example. It says in there, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. When my eyes were opened, I realized I was walking in darkness. You know what happens when you walk in the dark? You bump into things and you get scared by things. And although I see my wife, she's not in here all the time, but when she is, I'd like to tell a story on her. And just so she knows that I love her. When we are newly married, this is a funny story. We are newly married only for about a month. And I had been living in that home and just wasn't all the way used to being married, you know, just sharing a room, sharing space with someone. And, you know, so we were still, you know, still getting used to all that. And so she had gotten up in the night and was going to use the restroom. And I said, okay. And she did. And when she did, I fell into a knockout sleep, like unconscious, like in seconds. I have skills that way, by the way. And so... But then all of a sudden, in my sleep, I hear somebody's rattling the door, the back door. And we lived in a suburb of Detroit, so you kind of, you know, you stay attuned to these things. Well, the next thing I hear is the front door has just been rattled and sounds like it just kind of shut. And now I'm freaked out. I'm wondering who in the world is coming up in here. Trying to get me and my new wife. Who is coming to get us? And so in the darkness, I'm staring at the door. And our house was about, there's nothing in this room I can compare this, like the sound booth would be the closest thing. It was about that big. We were newly married. It was about as big as the sound booth. And so I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden in the darkness, I see this silhouette of a person, and they are coming with boldness right into the bedroom. I can't think of what to do. I mean, they're there. Only thing I can do is try to. I'm thinking in my mind, they think I'm asleep, and so I'm going to spring out of bed and I'm going to scream at them and try to get them however I can. And so as that silhouette keeps moving towards me, I spring out of bed and at which time my wife doesn't say a word. She just goes. It's a good thing it was after the restroom. Anyways, When she finally had air back in her lungs, she said, "Why are you yelling at me?" I said, "Well, baby, you scared me." She goes, "Well, you scared me." She said, "I told you what I was doing." I said, "I didn't know you." She said, "Who'd you think it was?" I'm like, hey, when you're living in darkness, you can't always tell friend from foe. Hey, when you're living in darkness, you make all kinds of mistakes. There's all kind of pitfalls you fall into. There's all kind of traps that you don't even see that you get involved in when you're living in darkness. How can you be of any good to God? And it says we need to turn. We need to be turned. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. But then it also says there's a power at work in our lives. If you notice in verse 18, it doesn't just say darkness and light. It says there's a power to turn us from darkness to light, but also to turn us from the power of Satan to God. Do you know when I was walking with my eyes, and it wasn't that my eyes were closed, it was everything in my life, oh, you can't hear me right now, but you can see me, had put blinders on me to where I could only look like we would a horse that we want to keep running on a certain track. All my experience doesn't make you wiser. Experience just puts you in a rut. You know, all my experience had put me in this rut, in which were blinders that said, keep walking this way, keep living in this power, keep doing the things you're doing. And that was the power of Satan working in my life. I know the power of Satan, and you can too. Listen, Jesus gave us some real clear clues. He says the thief doesn't come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. When there's things in your life, when there's habits in your life, when there's relationships in your life, when there's a lack of habits in your life, lack of good habits, a lack of a personal relationship, but anyway, when your soul and your body and your mind and your resources and your relationships are being stolen, when your God-given life is being killed, where your reputation and your ability to glorify God in this world is being destroyed, that is the power of Satan working in your life. Doesn't matter who you are. You can say, is this for Christians or non-Christians? Don't matter who you are. That's how you identify the work of the enemy. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that was the work in my life. I had written myself off. And I didn't think I had much of life to live. Okay? That was until he turned my eyes. Open their eyes and turn us. How would you have to turn a horse with blinders? If a horse has blinders on and you have the reins and you just keep them straight, it's going to keep walking that straight path. That's all it sees. It's got to be turned. You got to turn the head of that animal around so it can cut a new way, so it can see a new path. And I'm going to tell you, that's the first work that happens in salvation. That was the work that God did in my life. He opened my eyes and turned my head so I could see that there was something other than darkness. Because from my perspective, I was like a fish in the fishbowl. Darkness was all I knew. He had to turn my head, and so my eyes would be open, I'd see something other than darkness. He had to demonstrate that there was a power other than Satan's power, that God had saving power. He had to turn me. Do you know there's a word in the Bible for turning, what it means to have us, that's the invisible barrier. I think it's Barbara. there is a place, you know, where it talks about being turned, and that word is repentance. I know that's not a word that we like to use a whole lot today, but let me tell you, if you're going the wrong way, the best news you can hear on this earth is that there is a way to turn and go the right way. The best news we can hear today is that if you are stuck in darkness, if you are stuck in the power of Satan, you can be turned by the power of God. That is good news. Do you know when Jesus, the Good News King, by the way, came to earth, his very first words that he would preach? Repent.
That was the very first word he preached. We say, but you know, Jesus is kindly and he's forgiving and he's loving, and repentance sounds so ugly and mean. We got the wrong deal on repentance. Repentance is the second chance. Repentance is turning around. Repentance is having your eyes open and being turned from those forces that kill you. Man, I don't want to walk with those forces that kill me no more. I don't want to take in those things that are killing me. I don't want to be enslaved by anything or any person. I want to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he offers me that opportunity. I don't want to be walking in the way of theft and murder and destruction, to steal, to kill, destroy. That's not the path I want to pass on to my kids. That's not what will make a fulfilled life. Y'all, the very first thing to have a testimony, I told you two essential parts of a testimony, is that we repent. Repent. Turn around. And it's by God's grace that that's even possible. Don't get to thinking this is something that we do on our own, like, hey, I've just had enough. I've decided to change my life. Sure. Everybody who's been on a diet, yeah, okay, you already know. I've decided I'm not going to eat triple chocolate ice cream anymore. Well, hey, John, there's a birthday party Friday, and I wanted you to come, and we're having triple chocolate ice cream. Oh, I will not eat any more triple chocolate ice cream after that next birthday party. Everybody's trying to quit smoking. You're going to quit after that next pack. You're going to quit after that next one. You're going to quit after you bum that last cigarette. Man, that's what happened to me. I quit smoking. What happened first was I quit buying my own cigarettes. You know, being a cheap frugal person like I am, you know, discerning, being a good steward of the funds that God has put through my life, I decided to stop buying cigarettes because that was a great financial waste. I decided to start smoking other people's, and which seemed to me brilliant. You know, from my own perspective, that just was smart. Wow, I can do this and not pay for it. I'm not paying to kill myself anymore. I'm allowing other people to do it, which is a little bit better. But I had to get to a point, and I was helped by a community of people who were tired of bumming me smokes, to quit, to finally lay that down and say, this is, you know, I got to stop this whole thing. It's not doing anything good for me. It's not doing anything good for me. But if you've been through some of those struggles, if you've tried to do those things, if you've tried to lay down bad habits on your own, you've come to the realization that you need a power greater than yourself. You need someone stronger than you to get you through this. And let me tell you this, the problem we deal with sin is greater than, you know, sin is the big umbrella. Underneath that umbrella is all kinds of addictions, all kinds of traps. Every kind. Every kind is under that umbrella of sin. And you and I cannot remove sin from ourselves. We need to be turned by a power greater than ourselves. We need to be turned by God. And that's what the gospel is all about. Repent is what Jesus said. Turn. Let God open your eyes and turn you. Have you ever opened your eyes? Have you ever come to the realization? I've talked to a lot of people who feel bad about the mistakes they've made. I've run into a lot of people who wish they could have done things differently somehow. But it's a rare thing still today to run into people who have realized that they truly are in darkness and under the power of Satan. Because if you just are a little bit sorry for your mistakes and you just wish things could get better, you're going to try it in your own strength. You're going to try to live good for a lot of years and get a lot of good deeds and a lot of good awards and a lot of good pat on the back and some time behind you in the good category. But if you've never come to recognize that you are in darkness and that you are under the power of Satan, then I fear that you have never repented. You've never allowed God to do that work in your life that said things have to be different. Completely different. The old has to be taken away and something new's got to be put in its place. The very first step is to recognize I am lost. If you haven't recognized that, I don't know that what reason that you would have to ever cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, find me. Lord, help me. So I'm going to suggest in our testimony, we have a little prayer. This whole thing is kind of like a prayer. The whole title of the sermon is, Lord, open our eyes that we might receive. So the first prayer would be, Lord, help us to repent. Lord, open our eyes that we might repent, that we might let go of that which kills us so we can hold on to that which you offer that gives us life. And if you've never recognized your lostness, don't convince yourself of your foundness. Because we have to be turned. God is not going to give to the enemy. And if you're in darkness under the power of Satan, you're in that camp. And he's not going to give into that camp. He's just not going to do it. But he will turn. He will open our eyes. He will bring us into our camp. And look what the next words are. He says to them, open their eyes, to turn them from the power from darkness to light, from power of Satan to God, that they may receive. Right after we see the turning, we see the giving of God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in him. Isn't that something? Isn't that an awesome thing? Let me tell you, when he turns us, when he takes the bad away from us, let me tell you what he exchanges it with, because there needs to be an exchange. The very first thing is forgiveness of sins. He gives the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to sing the song Amazing Grace until I get to the part that I want to talk to you about. Then I'm going to stop. And if you want to sing with me, you'd probably be okay because you sing better than I am, but I do. But here it goes. An amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. If you allow God to do a work of turning in your life and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to receive the forgiveness of sins, and it appears not sometime down the road, not sometime later if you can follow the Ten Commandments, not sometime later if you can follow the traditions of the church, but the grace of God shows up the hour you believe. The grace of God shows up when you put your hands in the air and you say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I belong to you. I've been lost. I've been wretched. I've been miserable. Poor, naked, and blind, drunk, and stupid. And I give my life to you because I recognize that was darkness and that was Satan, and I don't want that anymore. And I believe your son died for me on the cross, and when you put your faith in him, you receive the forgiveness of your sins. Right then and there, you receive it. Have you received the forgiveness of your sins? Are you sure you've been forgiven by Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about having a sentimentality that comes from loving the church and loving church folks and loving church songs and loving the Word of God and loving all these things. I'm talking about, have you come having been, your eyes been opened to the fact that you are a lost sinner? Have you come and bowed before the living God and said, would you please forgive me of my sins? Will you save me? That's what Paul's talking about. We receive the forgiveness of our sins the hour we first believe. Oh, how precious. Oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And what else do we receive? because this goes beyond the pale. I don't know all the cool and hip phrases I used to, because I used to be cool and hip. Well, I used to think I was cool and hip, but now I know I'm not. But it'd be like, it's off the chain, off the hook, off the charts, beyond the pale, whatever it is. When he says, not only that we might receive forgiveness of sins, but that we receive an inheritance. An inheritance. Do y'all know what that means? Do y'all know what an inheritance is? I don't come from a wealthy family. We just have funerals and don't have much of an inheritance. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not looking to, you know, one day retire to the family estate, you know, and have the butler cut the grass or something. I don't have no inheritance in this world. I have loved ones, but I'm not looking for an inheritance. I know what an inheritance is because I've seen on the movies where people have a rich uncle who dies and gives them an inheritance, and they get this inheritance of all these things. I don't have all that, except for in Christ. I have an inheritance. And you know what I've heard tell in the Bible? My inheritance doesn't just belong here as being able to say I belong to that family, but it's about heaven. It's about going to heaven. It's about being in fellowship with God and His saints forevermore. It's about streets of gold. It's about gates of pearl. It's about things that a poor boy from Detroit like me has no right to even lay his fingerprint on in my brain, except that Christ did something for me. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. What did I do to earn it? I didn't do a thing. He gave it to me. He gave me an inheritance. And I'm going to tell you, I want to know, how do I receive it? How do I receive that inheritance? The same way I receive the forgiveness of sins. I put my faith in Him. Did you see how that ends? That you might have an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in Him. This is like a hand in a glove. Repentance and faith work together like hand in a glove. He opens our eyes. He turns us away from the darkness and from Satan. He turns us to the light and to the power of God. And then we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive that hour forgiveness of sins, and we receive also an inheritance that is out of this world. I'm telling you, this is why it's called good news. This is why it's the good news. Have you? Are you sure? And listen, God has put me here. God has not put me here beyond, you know, I think we don't always know why pastors are pastors, why they're there, why they're in the place they are. Pastors do a lot of things. A lot of them are good things. You know, we talk with folks. We counsel folks. We do the marrying and the burying. We do the, you know, we're there when you're born and when your babies are born, all that stuff. You know, there's babies who are growing up here, and I was there at their birth, and I think that's an awesome thing. And God's gonna, and I'm gonna see those babies grow up just like you all are. You know, that's an awesome thing to me. But do you want to know why a pastor's really there? He's to make sure that the people who are under his care in the church where he's preaching, that they have given themselves to the Lord through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I marry you, if I bury you, if I counsel you, if I do everything good, if I help you financially, if I'm your friend and I'm your buddy, but I haven't told you about the good news, and I haven't made sure that your eyes have been opened and that you've been turned and that you've, by faith, put your lives into the hand of Jesus Christ, I have done you a disservice. I have not been a good pastor. I have been a rotten person, and I am liable for what happens to you. I believe that. And now listen, if you're here today and you have any questions about whether you've repented, whether you've allowed God to turn you, and whether you've put your faith in Christ, today make it sure. Why? Why have a doubt in your mind? Why live with that? The invitation is open. Christ has said, come on to me. Not Big John has said. I didn't say that for him. He said that for himself. Come on to me. Come on to me. That's his invitation. Have you recognized yourself to be lost? Have your eyes been opened to where you know that you are? Not just somebody who needs to overcome a few mistakes. Not somebody who's just made a few bad turns. And if you get the right roadmap, you can start making right turns. This is not a self-help program. This saying yourself is going to a bad place without the Lord Jesus Christ is defined by darkness and the power of Satan. If you have been opened and your eyes have been opened to see that and you want to call out to Christ in faith, if you never had, today's your day. Don't stop. Don't Say, oh, I think I can get through it. Oh, I hear what he's saying. Oh, I feel like something's burning inside me, and I feel like God's talking inside me. But I can hold out. I can wait till the end of the service. I'll make a decision later. If God's doing that work in you, don't take it for granted. If God's never done that work in you, and he's doing it now, would you please respond? Right now, we're having a time. If you want to come up here, you can sit. If you want to kneel and pray, if you want to come into the front of the church and kneel and pray and say, I want to give my life to Christ right now, you come up here, kneel and pray. If you want to come up and ask me to help pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to stand right where you are or sit right where you are and bow your head and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner and I need you to save me, would you do it right where you are? God knows where you are. He's come to us in Christ. He's traveled from heaven to earth. He knows where you are if you're sitting here at Christ Community Church. But I want to tell you, do not pass him by. Don't think you're going to solve these issues yourself. Don't think you can get what he freely gives by your own merit. He gives us forgiveness of sins. He gives us an inheritance, but it's by faith in him. You can't get that on your own. If you need what he's got, you do business with him right now. The invitation's open.